purify ourselves. And so that we let go of the day and we just begin to sink in. If the thoughts come, let the mind think. Just shift your attention into silence and singing. And let's start meditating. I don't know how to put it to words, really. It's very simple, but I don't know why I'm not. I think tonight, the first thing I like to say is that we are completely and totally divine. And I'm not saying that to inspire some of us or repeat myself or something you already know. I'm just saying it to tell you that's who we are. You know, that is the fact. And just deal with it, you know, so to speak. And I don't know why there is so much hesitance to accept that we are truly part of the whole. And I guess tonight my heart really, really been carrying in my throat just to say that what is the problem? We are divine. That's the bottom line. But it's not enough to hear it or say it. It's to believe it, you know, to be convinced by this truth. and to live it. Otherwise, we're living a lie. We're going around and not telling the truth. And the demonstration that came in the meditation that was earlier was given many times before, but this is the subject of tonight. If we are walking on a road, the sun is behind you, you'll have a shadow in front of you. And if you concentrate on the shadow enough, you will be more interested in what the shadow's position and hand and feet are than actually realizing that if it wasn't for you, the shadow would have never existed. So every time that we think that we are human or this body, we are really looking at the shadow. Not one that is standing and prompting the shadow to exist. So what do we do with this shadow and identification? Is to turn to the sun. Once you turn to the sun, the shadow goes in the back. And or it will not be apparent anymore. It will not be there anymore. So what is this light? To contemplate, to live through the idea and belief that I am God, that I am part of God. Because, again, I repeat it, and I probably repeat too much of it, by the virtue that God is omnipresent, I cannot be anything else. Why? Because God is omnipresent. What can I be but that? It's impossible to be something else. So once we contemplate in that truth, the road does not even need to exist. We don't need to do all sorts of practices, all sorts of austerities, and all sorts of worship. We become inherent of the Father who is omnipresent. And I repeat myself in a hope that since we are bombarded by nonsense and lies in the world, we can't hear enough of the truth. And this feeling of divine existence brings a horrendous love in the heart, almost intoxicating, almost beyond bearing. This love is. Why? Because the truth is known and the truth is love. So far, we follow. And so, on that note, I would have liked to read a couple of things for you, but I don't know where my glasses are. Is it in the car, do you think?
Can we turn the air conditioning down a touch?
It's right behind the card, Sunny. You can turn it
Or up or whatever, however you say it, so it's not so cool.
Turn it up.
Yeah.
Put it on 80 or 90.
Thanks.
You know, when you love something with all your heart, say you love a woman or you love a man, depending on what sex you are, and you want to be in the vicinity of your beloved. You can't bear the separation. And so you do everything in your power to see that person or to talk to them or to be around them. When this love becomes self-consuming, It's not even enough the vicinity. You just don't know what to do. You just want to merge in that person. You just want to feel the oneness with that person. And this is the story of play of God or the manifest. We love so strongly. We love God so strongly. Maybe not in this lifetime, another lifetime, or maybe in this lifetime, that there is a sprung of a desire, deep desire, that you want to know the truth. And when this dance begins to happen, it never stops until it takes you there. And this desire only burns more and more and more until you're consumed with it. And then in that consummation, we realize that we were never apart. Never apart, it was just a game that happened. Now, we might ask, if we are that, why is it that we are not aware of it?
To read it?
Yes, I'm going to give it. So, this would be what would be said about why is it that we are not believing it at all time. Who wants to read it? Who is a good reader? Any volunteer?
Well, it depends how complex it is.
It is not. Who I'm not.
July 20th, 1999. They told me I was born on such and such a date, I believed them. They told me this is your mother and that is your father, I believed them. They told me I'm a girl and girls do this and they do that, I believed them. They told me being naked had shame, I believed them. They told me wear this or you'll catch a cold, I believed them. They told me a woman gets married and this is only right and proper, I believed them. They told me to be strong, I believed them. As I believed, I also hardened to a rock. My beliefs made me concrete. They told me fire burns and you can't go through the walls. I hardened some more. They told me this is good and that is bad. I believed them all. But why with all these directions? I felt worse and worse. How can you limit the unlimited and make it feel better? How can you put the infinite into the finite and think that you're teaching the truth? My beliefs became chains upon my soul. I undressed shamelessly, dropping the veil. I broke the statue mad out of my beliefs. I broke the statue made out of my beliefs. I spit at their goodness. Your spit is to indicate realizing the unreality of the worth of the unreal. I turned my back to all their ways and I vanished from the make-believe state. Every morsel of their beliefs I swallowed until I could take no more. They told me, here, there refers to the state of ignorance, the visible world. The world is flat and they told me it is round. But cancer kills, but flu does not. They told me time exists, future is important, education is the means. Money is survival. I believed them. They told me death is bad and being born is good. Bad people are dangerous and good people are to seek after. I believed them. So one by one we became a fool. Nobody ever questioned or admitted that their beliefs were upon their someone else's belief or hearsay. None really explored what was truly real. So this world became products of belief without any base to stand on. A baby grows up with layers of belief, not living, but a puppet of fear, shame, hesitation, and that was good. Will I say I have no use for all that I have ever learned thus far? To me, we are infested with the unreal, victims of our own beliefs, all swimming in the ocean of falsehood. Most don't even know it. The unlimited, the absolute, looking as confined as a rock, what a joke. We pay to buy the falsehood, worldly knowledge. We become a bundle of desire, a slave to our beliefs. We desire to be good, wealthy, healthy, ever young. Yet all along we were perfection. We had abundance, we were never born, so the health was not even an issue. Very important point. Unlimited, timeless, absolute, acting bounded. Now this is absurd.
This was given to me that day at Lake Tahoe when I... Well, anyway, this really explained where it started at. It started at birth when we believed that we were born. Right there, the identification with the shadow took place. And it continued because we kept on accepting it. Now, this is what came to me, and it doesn't have to be your reality at all. I just felt like sharing it. And I'm sure that we all have our own interpretation of what is truth. All I can say is that searching after the truth more than 2/3 of my life you realize that you have never left home, and that the idea of not being home was only a belief in the mind, only what we accepted it because we were told. And that easy. It's really, really easy. And why is it so hard to get it? Is to the extent of our acceptance of what we heard, touched, saw, to that extent of that hardening of the belief is the hardness of letting go. So the simple mind have an easier time receiving it because there is no logic there to dissect it and find fault with it, and doubt it, and reject it. The simple is God is. That's it. And so if God is, what can we not be? We have to be is too. Because there is nothing but that. And so even if you look at it logically, it might make sense. Now, this was the writing about what we are not, and we accepted it as our shadow. And then one morning I woke up with a tremendous amount of despondency for no reason whatsoever. I was just miserable, and I couldn't understand why that was. So I went to a place that I always go when I am like this. And this is another one that came, and this would be who we are in my version. And again, you don't have to accept it. Amud did such a good job.
I am I.
No, this was I am not, and this is I am I. And this writing will totally demolish our judgment about anything.
Written January 2nd, 1997.
That came before this.
Dream, dream, dream. When am I going to realize it totally?
That's what the question was. Mm-hmm.
No time is real, then there is no when. Now, now. I am neither liberated nor in bondage. I am I. Whether I am it or not, I am I. Whether I cry or sit still, whether I remember or not, whether I can see the dreams as dreams or not, I am I. Whether I appear to struggle, forget, or live an ordinary life or not, I am I. When I suffer, feel joy, or none of the above still, I am I. Whether I had beginning or not, whether I was born and died, I am I. Whether the skies stay above or become part of the soil, I am I. Whether the birds sing or the flowers bloom and perfumes, I am I. whether the son or wife, whether the husband, father or life, I am I. Kin and kith, stranger or friend, child of a mother, or mother of a child, I am I. Sinner or not, killer or just, I am I. Politics, science, education, knowledge, interest to help the world or not, so what, I am I. Words, sentences, phrases, long in communicating absolutely nothing, I am I. Morning and night, sleeping and waking, dreaming, all along, I am I. Years, days, hours, sand in the hourglass, I am I. Here, there, everywhere, I am I. Somebody, nobody, king, beggar, or this and that, I am I. Heaven, hell, earth, sky, or the Milky Way, I am I. While drinking, eating, having sex, I am I. Mad, intoxicated, out of my mind, I am I. Priest, rabbi, holy saint, I am I. Frustrated, failing, or succeeding, feeling the I or not, I am I. Needing you, needing me, needing this or that, needing God, I am I. You did good, you are bad, don't do this or do that, I am I. Thinking, 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 still, I am I. Feeling, loving, hating, touching, and seeing, I am I. I live, I is, I dies, I am I. Names, forms, places, stages, phases, chapters, periods in life, I am I. Young age, middle age, old age, I am I. Married, divorced, belonging to you, or you to me, I am I. This life, last life, next life, I am I. Ups, downs, laughter, pacifier, tranquilizer, I am I. Concepts, beliefs, tendencies, habits, I am I. Call me mother, daughter, wife, call me friend, sister, whore, or what you like, I am I. Love God, serve all, or be a bum under a bridge, still, I am I. Ravana, a Hanuma, Arjuna, a Kauravas, be this side of the army or that side.
That's a Bhagavad Gita.
I am I. Every reincarnation, every avatar that came and went, I am I. No beginning and no end. No cause or reason. I am I.
Thank you very much. So, this writing communicates that it doesn't matter what our role is. You know, we have too much judgment that if we are in the spiritual path, we have to be a certain way, behave a certain way. The crux of the matter is, I am I. I am I. And that I has no reason, no season, no beginning, and no end. And until this is realized, there is always a judgment, there is always obstacles, imaginary obstacles, there is always things to jump over, there is always a searching, there is always seeking, there is always hide and seeking. And so much emphasis goes with a living, and yet not enough emphasis is, who am I? Who is the I that lives as a teacher, as a doctor, as a bum, as a prostitute? Who is that I? And I used some harsh language came out, and I read it in one of the retreats, and my cousin nearly died, to shock people out of their concept of what is good and bad. A whore is not necessarily bad. A priest is not necessarily good. Why? Because in God there is no good and bad. It just is. It just is. Now, we are in a time of this planet Earth, which some believe to exist, that is the most inducive time to self-realization. Why? Because the walls has never been that tightly coming together and making people frustrated. In that, there is a birth. Just like delivering a child, a mother at the time of labor, the doctor says push, and there is a lot of pain. But out of this push comes a creation. So the same thing is happening to the, actually, the universe. The push is becoming to the shove. And it's up to some of us, or a few of us, or those of us, that actually believe the truth more than they believe the false. Now here, there is one sentence that starts the whole thing that is very, very precious, and it says, whether or not I know that I'm liberated or I don't, I am I. In other words, whether we know who we are or not doesn't change who we are. We're still that. Then why should we even say who we are? Only because by realizing that while you're embodied in the body, you benefit from it. It doesn't change the fact that you are still that divine being. Now, the spirituality is not to let go of a set of a judgment and pick up another set. It's just to let go. Period. When I went to India the first time, I used to say, if my guru will have a Mercedes, I will leave the ashram. He's not supposed to have Mercedes, he should be poor. Well, that really was destroyed the first time I was there, because he had Mercedes and Jag, just like we do. Even though it's not his, it's there for him to use because the devotees beg him to have it, but that's beside the point. Through a chains of heartbreak, through his behavior, I realized he's not to be judged by his character, but by what he has given me. And what did he give me? The very first time I saw him, he said, listen to your conscious voice. He didn't say, listen to my conscious voice. He didn't say, worship my feet. He didn't say, follow me around. He said, listen to your conscious voice. Immediately he pointed me to myself. Immediately he told me the truth. And so the expansion took place. And here we are. What can truly hurt what is beyond hurt, you know? Shared a dream here. The only reason if I share something that is related to me is not to put me as a special person, because I'm not. If I feel special, then I'm really missing the boat of that there is only God. I only share it to just remind everybody that that's how it is for all of us. I went through a many, many years of excruciating pain of yearning and love for God. And it got so bad that I don't think I could live. I, I was seriously very close to dying. It was just, it was maddening. It was just no remedy for it, and Richard knows, he has lived with me. And one night, certain things happened, and then I went to bed. I had a dream of Baba, and that is for all of us to hear that. He was given a darshan right below a window where I was, behind the window, but the window didn't have a window in it, it just was an opening without a window. I looked down, and he took my hand in his hand, and we had some exchange of love. Then he said, "Susan, you go around 8 hours a night, day, which was more than that, but he said 8 hours a day, loving God. And calling on him. I want you to go around 8 hours a day and say, 'I am God. I am God.' Why?" Of course, he didn't say why. Why did he say that? "For the pain to stop, you have to merge into the truth. Not in who you are, because you are who you are. But for the pain to stop, the emergence has to start. And in order to merge is to become one with the Beloved, like Jesus said on the cross, 'I and my Father are one.' So after we go through 'I am the servant of God,' which I'm sure all of us have done it or we wouldn't be here, meaning the helping the society, being helpful, being a good citizen, then comes 'I am the Son.' Why? Because now you are not living on a salary. You're living by the Father's grace. So your relationship gets closer. But eventually you have to let go of that and say, 'I and my Father are one.' But this happens when we actually begin to swim in the truth and entertain the truth rather than the false. And where the false begins, when we identify with our limited shadow on the ground. Because shadow has not life or essence of his own. It's the entity that is standing up that gives the shadow existence. Right, Mark? Anybody else would like to comment?
I'm having an easier and easier time understanding the fact about being divine. It took a while. It's going to still take time,
look,
but it's easier.
Look, I hate to do that to my paper, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Look. This is what we were.
Mm-hmm.
As the truth begins to hit our consciousness by repeatedly, look what happens. Expansion happens,
mm-hmm.
opening happens, to the point that is clear.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us are going like this and think we're living. We're living because we're making money. We're living because we have a lover. We're living because sometimes we have a happy life. So what if we have misery afterwards? But what opens this is not the activity of our day, is not our knowledge, is not our education, is not our nobleness, is not our morality, is not our cruelty. It is the truth. It is the light of the truth. And now, believe me, if nothing you believe that I say, believe me, the fact that you hear the truth wherever you went, no, maybe someplace else, is because this is supposed to open. Nothing will stop it. Once the truth is heard, it only picks up momentum. It's not like something else that would decay with life, like a body and mind. So it's something to be treasured, appreciated, and thankful. And it's our turn. You know, it's our turn. Not because we're special, maybe because we're one of the last one that is our turn, but it nevertheless is our turn. Why? Because our senses heard, touched, saw, felt the truth beyond the hands, the ears, and the eyes. We didn't hear it, we didn't touch it the way hands and feet and eyes and ears do it. We touched it from our essence of being. That's how we touched it. And that cannot be taken away, and it cannot be given to. It is what is, like God is. So I'm very happy to hear that, Mahmood. And it's a pleasure to hear you say that, because it's only you who is coming forth, mm-hmm. You know? And that you, there is nothing but that.
I feel appreciated, thank you.
Thank you. You know, in acupuncture, as Lane and Lucy know, because they're becoming a doctor, when you take a pulse, correct me if I'm wrong, and different pulses will indicate different energy blocks or whatever it is. I don't know what you guys do. On a spiritual pulse, anything that expands your consciousness or elevated is divine. Anything that gives you limitation and puts you into under the umbrella of cause and effect is a human law. Is to be discarded. So, how do we know we're in the right place, hearing the right thing? If the weight is lifted off your shoulder, the responsibility begins to loosen itself. You begin to grow a wings, invisible wings, to fly. Right, Richard?
Well, you said a lot tonight.
I didn't say a word. I, as the mind and the logic, was absent. Nisargadatta Maharaj, whom I respect and bow to his feet, is a yogi. He was a yogi in India. He was a self-realized soul. He was a seller of tobacco for all his life. He sold cigarette and tobacco, which to most of a spiritual seeker, that would be a no-no until they have an awakening. He was very dissatisfied in his life, and he made a lot of money. He had many little shops. Finally, one of his student forced him, nearly dragged his ass. Sometimes I might shock with my words, just forget it. Into the ashram of another realized soul. Now, he has no background of spirituality, as we call. No tapas he has done, no austerity, nothing. No prayers. He was just an ordinary man that sold tobacco to people. He goes there, and when he walks in, his teacher, well, it wasn't even his teacher, the guy that was sitting on the cushion says to him, "You are the ultimate truth." That was it. He left. Now, what made him realize himself in a short time? He heard the truth, but didn't let it go. He took it home as if it was a treasure in his hand and contemplated, focused with one single eye until it became manifest in 3 years. That was all was said between him and his teacher. He didn't say go to a cave and meditate until you turn blue. He didn't say you have to go fight the demon in the jungle. He just said you are the ultimate truth. Period. Now so the truth is simple. What makes it complicated is our over-educated mind. Namaste. So you see, nothing can hurt you.